Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you for another action-packed episode of the Red Zone. If you're joining us live, thank you very much. Appreciate it. If you're not, remember you can join us live each and every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Central, as I've had a number of people ask. So we've got people from all over the world joining the Chiefs Kingdom, as Mitch Holtis likes to call it, and joining us on a regular basis here on the Red Zone. Remember, you can email us at the Red Zone, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. And we'll get some of your emails a little bit later on today in the Red Zone. We continue to break down the NFL draft. Wes Bunting, the director of college scouting for NationalFootballPost.com, will be here. We're going to break down quarterbacks and safeties. QBs and safeties this week in the Red Zone. And then a little bit later on, we'll talk to Chiefs wide receiver Terrence Copper, veteran wideout, big part of the special teams, Chiefs coverage units, taking a big step forward last year. Of course, hoping to take another big step forward this year. But Terrence Copper, a big part of that, and a guy who's growing more and more into the receiver role as he had a big 50-plus yard reception against the Denver Broncos in the final game of the season when the Chiefs routed the Broncos. So we'll talk to Terrence Copper a little bit later on in the Red Zone as well. But we'll start things off with the NFL draft. Wes Bunting is going to be with us, director of college scouting from NationalFootballPost.com, where we will break down quarterbacks and safeties with Wes Bunting. A couple of things going on around the NFL and how it pertains to the Kansas City Chiefs. Number one, another veteran quarterback moving on in the NFL as Donovan McNabb traded from the Philadelphia Eagles to the Washington Redskins. I think this is of note for Chiefs fans for a couple of reasons. One, the Chiefs made a move for a quarterback last year. The deal, very similar. Donovan McNabb coming to the Skins for a second-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles, and then a conditionally the third or fourth-round pick next year in the 2011 draft. We presume that'll be decided based upon a combination of or one or the other of which pick it is, or which selection as far as how high in the round the pick ends up being, and or how well Donovan McNabb plays, maybe based upon how many snaps he takes or the record overall of the team, some kind of condition in there as to whether or not it'll be a third or a fourth. But it makes us harken back to about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, when the Chiefs made the deal for Matt Cassel. And I know we've got an email question from a man, Mr. Zimmer, up in the Great White North about the quarterback position. But Matt Cassel coming over to the Kansas City Chiefs last year for a second-round pick, but it was Cassel and Vrabel for a second-round pick here. It is just the quarterback, and they're going to get a pick and a third or fourth, two picks overall when it's all said and done. So the price for Matt Cassel less. You would expect that. Donovan McNabb more accomplished in his career. However, the NFL less, and this is one thing I'll point out to people, is less about what you've done and more about what you can do. Donovan McNabb is 33 years old. Matt Cassel, 27 years old, so 6 years difference. That's one of the big things to look at here. In the NFL, well, the reason the Eagles are walking away from Donovan McNabb is he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's extraordinarily expensive in the world of average players, and maybe not so much in the quarterback world, but expensive and 33 years old, and last couple of years have missed a couple of games here and there. Injuries have taken a toll. Matt Cassel, a healthy quarterback that had played in 16 games when the Chiefs acquired him, and 6 years younger than Donovan McNabb. The Chiefs, you could say, I won't say got a bargain, but certainly looks like fair market value. Now that we've seen another quarterback move, we've got something to compare. A proven quarterback, yes, more proven than Matt Cassel, but the price steeper, even though the amount of football the Washington Redskins are going to get from Donovan McNabb figures to be less than the Chiefs will get from Matt Cassel. We'll see what kind of contract extension they've got to give. As I said, only 1 year left on Donovan McNabb's deal. We'll see what kind of contract extension the Redskins have to give Donovan McNabb to make that a happy situation. You would presume that they didn't make this deal to get him for just 1 year. So likely, much like the Chiefs extended the deal on Matt Cassel after the franchise tag was there, they gave him a 6 year deal. You'd expect something similar, maybe not 6 years, but somewhere in the 3 or 4 year range to come from the Redskins. I don't think this deal says Chiefs got a great deal. That'll be determined based on how Matt Cassel plays here moving forward. I don't think it says the Chiefs got a bad deal. I think it says the Chiefs got a fair market deal for Matt Cassel. Newcastle when you see what Donovan McNabb moved for in the next season. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Wes Bunning, the director of college scouting for the NationalFootballPost.com. You can check out his work there at the website. We break down quarterbacks and safeties today on our draft edition with Wes Bunning. It's next here in the Red Zone.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs up to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
With the fifth pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select...
We can't tell you yet. You're going to have to find out at the Chiefs NFL Draft Party. The NFL Draft is right around the corner and new for 2010. The draft's first round will be held in prime time Thursday night, April 22nd. The Draft Party takes place at the Chiefs Indoor Practice Facility with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, hosting the party, giving you an inside look at each player selected along with live draft updates from New York. There'll be a special appearance by Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt. Come get autographs and pictures of current and former Chiefs players. Get your first peek at the 2010 Chiefs cheerleaders and shake your belly with KC Wolf. We'll have food and drinks available, so join us for happy hour Thursday, April 22nd. Get tickets now for the Chiefs Draft Day Party, sponsored by Miller Lite and KC Southern. Chiefs Draft Day tickets start at just $15 for adults and $10 for kids. Get yours now at kcchiefs.com or by calling 800-745-3000. The 2010 Chiefs NFL Draft Party.
It is time for a new era. With new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
Welcome back here in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com, live each and every Wednesday. If you're catching us later on in the week, we continue to break down the NFL draft. We make our way around to the quarterback of the defense and Well, quarterbacks. Quarterbacks and safeties, the order of business this week. Wes Bunting, Director of College Scouting from NationalFootballPost.com, joins us each week as we are getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. And let's start with the big boy position, and we'll save safety, which seems like a more likely early pick for the Chiefs. So we'll kind of save that like our dessert for after the quarterbacks. But let's talk about the quarterbacks, Wes. What do you think about this class overall?
Overall, it's not really impressive, to be honest. There's some talent towards the top end, and when supply meets demand, like any position in the NFL, it's going to force some guys that aren't quite as talented moving up some draft boards. Guys like Jarrett Brown, Jevon Snead, Tony Pike, John Skelton, mid-round guys in past years, but when there's not that many talented guys, you see these guys moving up into the second, third round range. So because of that, I don't think we'll see a ton of quarterbacks taken this year, but the prize of it all is Sam Bradford.
And he right now, a lot of people have going number one. Do you agree with that? Is that where the Rams go?
Yeah, I think absolutely. This is an accurate guy, has the ability to make all the throws in the NFL, has the intangibles, the work ethic, and the passion for the game that you want to see in a quarterback. So I think he's the lock for the number one pick and the right direction for the Rams. They need a franchise guy they can build their team around. Sam Bradford can be that guy.
All right. How much, I mean, it appears if he's going to go number one overall, the shoulder injury didn't affect his draft position at all, or did it? Is it just a product of he's at the top because it's a weak class? And then by that, did he do a good job of reading the future of the draft and knowing that even if he got hurt, he'd still be pretty highly thought of?
Well, his tape's phenomenal. I mean, he's an accurate guy, completed nearly 70% of his passes. And we talk so much about his accuracy. But when I watch Sam Bradford, it's the accuracy within the accuracy. And what I mean by that is the ball location the guy consistently throws. Consistently during workouts, if a guy's not confident into his throws, he has a tendency to throw behind receivers, allow him to adjust to the football. During Bradford's workout, this was a guy consistently making receivers stretch to their limits, grab the footballs in stride, throw receivers open. Just a phenomenal workout. We have to remember, injuries are part of the game. I mean, Kajana Carter gets into Bengals camp and tears his ACL first play. I mean, he was the number one overall pick back in 97 or 96, whatever it may be. But injuries are part of the game. Sure, it has some bearing on a prospect, but if he can prove he's healthy before the draft, I don't think it has too much bearing on his overall rating.
All right, the number of quarterbacks that go early will certainly affect where the Chiefs pick at number five. The next guy on the list is Jimmy Clausen, and some people have him getting into the top five. What's your feeling on what Jimmy Clausen brings to the table?
He's a guy that typically I would like. Accurate, decisive, gets rid of the ball on time, can take snaps under center, good footwork. It's just the intangibles, the work ethic, the attitude, the sense of entitlement you get with a guy like Jimmy Clausen that really worries me. Is he a guy that's going to look grown men in the NFL in the eye and get them to rally around him on a Sunday afternoon? I don't know about that. He's had his fair share of run-ins, getting punched in the face at a Notre Dame bar, talking trash to Jim Harbaugh while losing to Stanford, and then not being able to win one out of those last six games of the year really scares me with him. A talented kid who might be maxed out as a prospect, but might be more NFL-ready right now than any quarterback in this year's draft.
Do you look at him and say, okay, he played under Charlie Weiss, so therefore he had great coaching, and so maybe he looks a little bit better than he really was? Or do you say, hey, he played under Charlie Weiss, he's more ready than, say, the average college kid because he played under a guy who really knows how to teach the NFL offense?
Yeah, I think you look at him and say, you know what, he's got a good pedigree. He understands how to play in an NFL system. But at the same time, he's a bit maxed out as a prospect. There's not too much upside to Jimmy Clausen's game. He doesn't have a real strong arm. And he's nearly a finished product at this stage. So you have to worry about that. There's not much more that you get with Jimmy Clausen 2, 3, 4 years down the line. Now, the game will slow down for him at some point in the NFL, but physically and mentally, this is a pretty maxed out prospect.
All right, another quarterback that certainly we know here locally would be Colt McCoy of Texas. I've always felt like he can't put enough on the ball, that he's certainly a pro prospect, but he's going to be a system guy at best, because if you need somebody to thread the needle 20, 25, 30 yards down the field, I just don't think he can do it. What's your view on Colt McCoy?
No, I agree 100%. This is a West Coast offense, quarterback only. It's going to be effective outside the pocket. He's a pretty good athlete, can move around, buy time for himself. accurate with the football. The biggest problem I have with him is him being able to decipher information quickly in the pocket. It has a tendency to stare down his initial read, force the ball into coverage when it's not there. Anytime his receiver gets pressed, gets himself in a lot of trouble. So, and for a guy that lacks arm strength, he needs to be on time with the football. Therefore, he needs to improve his progressions. Like I said, West Coast offense at best, mid-round pick.
All right, the guy I've got ranked about the same spot here at your website, nationalfootballpost.com, Jarrett Brown from West Virginia, tremendous athlete. Is he kind of the opposite, very rough, raw, but has the physical tools to maybe, if he can be polished up in several years, watching, learning in practice, he's got, you know, he's kind of the, McCoy's a polished product, but the athleticism is going to limit where he can go. This kid's raw because he played in that option offense at West Virginia, but the physical skills say, hey, if you can polish him up, he might be able to be by far the better quarterback.
Yeah, this is, you know, a nice piece of clay that you're going to get into an NFL training camp, and you have the ability to mold a masterpiece, but it's going to take some time. Now, at the same time, it could completely fall apart in your face as well. But he's a guy, real athletic, can buy time, create on the run, great arm strength, can really spin the football, sloppy footwork, which causes his accuracy to run amok at times, but he'll put some throws together that make you say, wow, this is one of the top quarterbacks in the draft, and other times, you'll put your hand on your heads and be like, there's no way this guy can play in the NFL. So he's a developmental guy that's going to be overdrafted because of his pure physical skill set.
All right, Tim Tebow, obviously a guy that's one of the great college football players of all time. We've heard him nitpicked, heard him changing his throwing motion, trying to speed it up. When you get to the end of it, what do you think? Is he worth? I think wherever he goes, he's going to go higher than people think, wherever that might be. If people are thinking third, I think he's going to go in the second. If people are thinking second, I think somebody's going to go in the first. Somebody's going to fall in love with the makeup, the physical size, the toughness. I mean, that's one of the things that you have to factor in. He figures, I mean, you mentioned injuries are a part of the game, but if you're a 245-pound, you know, tight end body style, you're much more likely to be able to take the pounding in the NFL and actually be out on the field. Where does he go? Where does he fit?
He's not a guy I would bet against. That's the first thing that comes to mind with Tebow. Guy, 6 weeks, totally reworks his release, improves his footwork dramatically from the Senior Bowl up until his pro day. In 6 more weeks, this guy's going to be 10 times better in a year from now, 2 years from now. Who knows how good this guy could be? I think he goes in the first round. I think a team falls in love with his intangibles, his work ethic, his pride, his passion, and that's what you want in the quarterback position. He can make all the throws. It's just the point of sharpening up his release, tightening up his footwork, and being a more balanced pocket passer. Once that comes into formation, I think he'll be a good, solid quarterback in the NFL. I really like Tebow, and I wouldn't bet against him.
I wouldn't bet against him either as a quarterback. I think his, when they talk about him playing tight end, H-back, fullback, all those things, I think he's overrated on that. He ran very physically his first year, maybe his first 2 years at Florida. The last two couple of years, now maybe it was just because he was trying to save himself to actually throw the football, he did not run the same type, and maybe I just had it built up in my head, and he never did run with the type of physicality that I thought he did those first couple of years. 40 time wasn't off the charts for playing one of those positions. You know, is he a guy that could be a slash first and then grow into the quarterback spot, a la Cordell Stewart?
He's a guy that, if it doesn't work out at quarterback, I think you can kick him to fullback. I think you can play him at H-back. He's not a guy that's going to run by anyone in the NFL, but he'll find a niche in the NFL. Maybe he plays on special teams. He's a wedge buster. This guy will find a way to make a roster. He'll be endearing to coaches. They'll love his work ethic. And, you know, I'd say he's a quarterback first, and then if it doesn't work out, I think you can run some wildcat with him. You can run, I mean, he's a brilliant goal line runner. Physical inside. I mean, sure, he didn't show that ability these past couple years at the second level, but he still consistently showcases the ability to pick up first down. You put him in the wildcat on 3rd and 1, 10-1, he's going to pick up that first down for you.
All right, the Chiefs, and we're talking to Wes Bunning, Director of College Scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. Scott Pioli, I guess I should say, in New England, took shots at quarterbacks in later rounds. We know the two it really paid dividends on, Tom Brady in the 6th and Matt Cassel in the 7th. There were other quarterbacks they took. They clearly threw some numbers at it. Let's take multiple guys, whether it's Rohan Davey or Michael Bishop or Cliff Kingsbury. They threw some darts on a number of quarterbacks, and they hit on two of them. Give me maybe a small school quarterback that's out of that day one, or I guess maybe now the first 2 day area, and then give me a big school quarterback that's past that you think could end up maybe being something. We're not going to hold you to this, like guy has to be a starter, but a couple of intriguing prospects that aren't maybe towards the top of the list.
Well, the one guy I keep an eye out for, the big school guy, is Chris Turner from Maryland. This is a season 3 year starter who's 5-2 all time against top 25 teams. Pretty good arm strength, comes from a pro style system, has the ability to make all the throws at Maryland. However, this past year he was banged up playing on a terrible Maryland offensive line, really struggled with his injuries. But if this guy's healthy, as he was in years past, had his best performance in big-time games, beat number 2 Rutgers 3 years ago as a sophomore, beat Clemson this past year. This guy has the ability to make all the throws and is a guy that I really like. Another guy is John Skelton, the small school player from Fordham. 6'7", 245 pounds, elite arm strength, has the ability to make all the throws, just needs to tighten up his footwork a bit. It's a big jump from Fordham to the NFL, but all the skills are there for him to be a solid quarterback at the next level.
All right, let's turn to the defensive side of the ball. There is no equivalent to quarterback, but if there's a guy that's in back that kind of surveys it all, it is the safety spot. So we teamed up quarterback with safety this go-round. I know at NationalFootballPost.com you've got them broken down into strong safeties and free safeties. First, let's talk about that. How much is there still a division? I remember in the old days, your strong safety was 225, 230, and he was a big hitter, and he played against the run. He was almost an extension of the linebacking core. And your free safety was kind of like a center fielder in baseball. He roamed around looking to make plays in the secondary. How much is there a differentiation between the free and strong safety these days in the NFL?
Well, it's shrinking. That gap's shrinking a lot. You want guys, especially if you're going to take a guy high, you want him to be able to play against the run and the pass, be able to play on first, second, and third down. Obviously, there's still a bit of a difference. Your strong safeties, they can be able to load the box and cover three situations, play as that extra linebacker. But a lot of times, strong safeties get matched up on the tight ends, on the H-backs. They'll even use them to press. So you need to be able to cover. And it's not so much about speed for the strong safety position, but fluidity and balance, being able to change directions and close on the football. That's what really makes these guys, these solid in-the-box safeties, as well as they can play outside the box as well.
All right, let's talk about the guy at the top of most lists, Eric Berry. Not overly big, but he seems to be everyone's consensus. The name that they throw around with him, and it's a big name, is Ed Reed. Do you see Ed Reed and Eric Berry?
Absolutely. This is a guy that all the physical tools are there. He's balanced. He can redirect. Cleanly gets in and out of his breaks when he has to close on the football. But what makes this guy so special is his instincts, his ability to anticipate plays, move before the football is actually thrown, get great jumps consistently on the quarterback, much like Ed Reed. I think this is an instant impact NFL player at the next level. This guy comes in, he'll be starting from day one, and it wouldn't surprise me if he was a Pro Bowl type player as a rookie in the NFL.
I looked at the safeties taken in the top 10 picks of the last decade, and there hasn't been not a one that has lived up to the expectations. And generally speaking, Ed Reed, everyone talks about Ed Reed. Ed Reed went, I think, 19 to the Ravens when Sean Taylor went 5. Now, who knows what Sean Taylor would have been had he not been tragically killed. Or maybe it wasn't even Sean Taylor, maybe it was Roy Williams, who went to the Cowboys. Sean Taylor was taken and Bob Sanders went in the second round. That was the same year. That's what it was. Sean Taylor went 5 overall. Bob Sanders went in the 40s. Same draft. Roy Williams in a different draft, but these two together. Roy Williams went 8 and Ed Reed went 19 or 20. We can only assume at that time, Roy Williams was the it guy. We'd seen the big dive over the top to tackle Chris Sims in their game against Texas. Why does safety and the other guys from the Texas kid that went to the Raiders,
Michael Huff,
they just don't seem to live up to the buildup. Why is Berry different, say, than some of those other top 10 safeties that haven't gone on to be the Polamalus and the Ed Reeds that I'm sure teams were hoping they were getting?
Well, we make so much of physical skill sets, so much of guys like Taylor Mays, the guys that are built like linebackers but run like corners, but they struggle to change directions and they're not real instinctive, but they get overdrafted because of their physical skill sets. Barry's a guy that depends on his instincts, consistently getting good jumps on the football. And when you compare him to a guy like Sean Taylor, Roy Williams, Michael Huff, those physical freaks, Barry is extremely athletic, but he isn't real big. He isn't overly physical, but he finds a way to get the job done, and he makes plays because of his head on his shoulders, consistently reading and reacting quicker than anyone else around him. That's why I think he's in the level of an Ed Reed, a Bob Sanders type player.
All right, let's talk about Mays. He is down the list on your list. Most people have him running at number two, largely, as you said. I mean, he looks the part. Big, strong, and he definitely ran a great 40 time in all his workouts. Why do you have him further down the list?
Well, he's a linear athlete only, which means he looks great in straight lines, but he's slow to decipher information, consistently takes bad angles in the secondary. I don't think he's the type of killer hitter people make him out to be either. I mean, if the receiver's exposed, he'll lay the wood, but if you watch him versus Toby Gerhardt and Stanford, when Gerhardt's not afraid to take him on, it's Mays that's consistently taking the brunt of the hits, getting his tackles broken, plus he struggles to break down. Consistently you see him gearing down, chopping his feet in order to regain his balance when he has to redirect and close on the football. This is a guy that I just think would be victimized in the open field at the next level if he's asked to play in space. Really scares me. I think more of an in-the-box only safety, maybe even an outside linebacker, but if you ask him to play in the center field type role and redirect, a lot of long plays are going to go over his head.
So you think he's got quite a high bust potential?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't draft him the first round. He scares me to death.
All right, let's go to some of the safeties you do like after Eric Berry. Who are the next couple of guys on the board?
Well, Nate Allen from South Florida. This is a former high school quarterback, great long athlete that's instinctive, can confine the football. Morgan Burnett from Georgia Tech. This is a big physical guy, not the greatest open field tackler. That's the biggest knock on him. However, much like Barry and Allen, great instincts, can find the football, might be the best pure center field type safety in the draft. And my favorite strong safety prospect is Chad Jones from LSU. Guy runs in the mid to high 4-5 range of the combine, but he plays so much faster than he times. At 6'3", 225 pounds, extremely fluid and balanced, this is a guy that I'd like much more than Taylor Mays. Similar size. Chad Jones doesn't run quite as well as Taylor Mays, but it's his ability to keep his feet under him and cleanly change directions, maintain balance, that allows him to play faster than Mays. That's why I like Chad Jones a lot more. I think all three of those guys could end up being impact NFL defensive backs in the NFL.
I'm a believer you can find quality safeties later on. A lot of times you can transition corners over to that spot when they get up there in age. Is that changing? I mean, we saw Mark Collins do it here in Kansas City. Obviously, the best example of that's Rod Woodson. Is that still the reality, or is it becoming a specialized position and safeties are safeties now and corners are corners?
No, it's definitely. You look at Rod Woodson's of the world. Troy Vincent did it at the end of his career. Mm-hmm. But these guys that you have to have a feel back there. You have to have some savvy to you, be able to find the football and they start moving, creating plays, reading and reacting before other players around you. And there's definitely some corners in this year's class, might not be elite 4-4 guys, but because of the head on their shoulders and their ability to read and react, guys like Amari Spavey from Iowa, Brandon Gee from Wake Forest, I think they could even come in, much like Jarius Byrd last year, the standout from Oregon, who played corner at Oregon. Buffalo drafts him in the third round, I believe. Moves him to safety, ends up leading, I believe halfway through the year, guy ends up with 9 interceptions or something like that. So it's all about the head and the instincts to play the safety position.
All right, we're talking with our man Wes Bunting, Director of College Scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. Final four time, four quickies for you. We'll start off quarterback bust. Who's it going to be?
Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought that's where you're going after that. So his attitude is that bad? I mean, I know he was the rock and roll guy coming out of high school, and the hair was a big important part of his daily preparation. That's maintained through his time at Notre Dame?
It just, you want clean prospects at the quarterback position. And you could talk to 10 different guys, and they might give you 10 different evaluations of Jimmy Clausen. But for me personally, I like the clean-cut guys that I know what I'm getting. They're coming in early on Monday morning. They're watching tape. They weren't out late Sunday night partying. It just worries me. And if I need a leader of a team, the clean-cut, I want a Drew Brees, a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know, a Sam Bradford type guy in this year's draft. I just worry about Jimmy Clausen.
Better head coaches and offensive coordinator, Andy Reid or Mike Shanahan?
That's a good one. I'm going to go with Mike Shanahan. He has the rings.
All right. And then who goes further this year, Eagles or Redskins? Obviously, we're hitting these two because of McNabb being traded.
That's a good call. I'm going to go with the Redskins this year. I think McNabb could end up having the best year of his career. I think he's going to get 2, 3, 4 more years tacked onto his career because Shanahan's going to take care of him on his nakeds and bootlegs outside the pocket. And there's no better quarterback coach in the NFL than Mike Shanahan.
All right, right now, who do you have the Chiefs taking at number 5?
Eric Berry. If you're drafting number 5, you have to take an elite caliber talent. Berry's the last guy left. If Okung's off the board, I think Eric Berry's the guy at 5.
All right, great stuff as always, Wes. We appreciate it. Again, check it out, nationalfootballpost.com. He is the director of college scouting, Wes Bunting, joining us every week. Leading up to the draft, we're getting closer and closer. Wes, great stuff as always. Always appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels, that a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer, 120, a jet engine, that studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the red zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you and talking NFL draft. Our thanks to Wes Bunting, NationalFootballPost.com, is where you can see his work as we broke down the quarterbacks and the safeties. Let's break down the quarterback and safety drafting history of one Scott Pioli. Pretty good at the quarterback spot, obviously. Has not drafted a quarterback since he came to Kansas City, but did in his time at New England draft five different quarterbacks. We go back to the beginning. First one he drafted was a good one. Tom Brady in the sixth round. He was pick number 199 overall in that draft. He was the seventh quarterback taken. And I think that's an interesting number we're going to look at on all the quarterbacks he's taken, because you're going to see they don't pop for quarterbacks. Scott Pioli doesn't pop for quarterbacks early in the NFL draft. Hasn't to this point. Now, we wouldn't expect him to this year with Matt Cassel on board. But you would say, well, with Tom Brady and later on with Matt Cassel or you know, the different backups that have been there in New England, well, why would you draft a quarterback? You've got a guy. Well, you've got to always be looking for that quality signal caller, and quarterbacks get hurt. Patriots went 11-5 when their Hall of Fame quarterback went down to a knee injury because they had Matt Cassel, because they continued to invest in the quarterback position. This is how they did it. They started off first year under Pioli, taking Tom Brady in the sixth round, pick number 199, and he was the seventh overall quarterback taken in that draft behind guys like T. Martin, you know, a number of guys. I think that's legend, all the quarterbacks that went in front of Tom Brady. So seventh overall quarterback, they get the guy who's absolutely sets up their franchise. 2002, 2 years later, by this point, Tom Brady had established himself as the starting quarterback. Rohan Davey they take in round four. He was the sixth overall quarterback, was on the roster for a number of years, never really made an impact. Didn't rest on their laurels at that point. In 2003, they took Cliff Kingsbury from Texas Tech. He was the 11th quarterback taken in that draft. He went in the sixth round, pick number 201, just a couple of spots behind where Tom Brady went at 199. Davey, by the way, went at pick number 117. So they had a couple of guys they tried. Let's try Rohan Davey. Let's try Cliff Kingsbury. Kept looking for the quarterback spot. Neither one of those guys ever panned out and played significant time, but they did hold down one of those backup spots. Remember early on, Damon Heward from the Chiefs was one of those backups for the New England Patriots, and they had a veteran guy, but they always kept that young guy, that prospect that they were looking to build into a quarterback. 2005, time to go back to the quarterback. Seventh round, pick number 230, Matt Cassel from USC. He was the 13th quarterback taken. Now, he didn't play much in college. That explains why he was so far down, but they liked the measurables. They liked the intangibles, did their homework. They grabbed Matt Cassel. He's now a two-year starting quarterback in the NFL. They got him in the seventh round. And if you think that was it for Scott Pioli on the quarterbacks, okay, we're done. We're all set. Not so, because they would come back in 2008 and take Kevin O'Connell just a couple of years ago in the third round, 94th overall pick, quarterback from San Diego State. He was the fifth quarterback taken. So 2008, going into that season, perhaps they knew they were going to have to do something with Matt Cassel. But again, even with Matt Cassel on the roster, remember going into the eighth season, that was the season that he would end up starting for Tom Brady. They invested in a quarterback and invested a third-round pick in a quarterback in Kevin O'Connell. Now, it should be pointed out he was released after a couple of interceptions in a preseason game last year in 2009, going into the preseason, released in the preseason, picked up by the Lions, then traded to the New York Jets for a seventh-round draft pick, and he's, I believe, still on the Jets roster right now. So that's the highest. If we look at where will Scott Pioli go for a quarterback, the highest he went was the third round. Now, part of that was influence. You can say, hey, would he have taken a first-round quarterback if he didn't get Tom Brady in 2000? Well, great question. Drew Bledsoe would have still been the starter. Maybe they do invest higher draft picks. When you've got Tom Brady, you don't need to go that high on the draft. Now, I don't think anybody feels like we've got Tom Brady with Matt Cassel, but I feel like you've got a great young quarterback prospect with 2 years under his belt, and this is the year he really needs to take a step forward. No need to take a quarterback high. Now, after this year, if Matt Cassel throws 16 TDs and 16 interceptions after they've added a Thomas Jones and a Casey Wiegman and a Ryan Lilje to help out on the offensive line, and we'll see if they go wide out and tight end, two spots I think they might go in the draft, then maybe they start scratching their head and saying, okay, let's invest a little bit higher in a quarterback. But in the history of Scott Pioli drafting QBs, has not drafted one here in Kansas City. He's taken them in order in the 6th, 4th, 6th, 7th, and 3rd, and certainly cashed heavily in the 6th with Tom Brady and the 7th with Matt Cassel. I think there's a decent chance they take a quarterback this year, unless they feel like there are just so many other positions of need that they've got to keep firing and trying to add prospects to those spots. But don't be shocked, Mr. Zimmer, who has asked us a couple of times via the emails if quarterbacks could be on the horizon for the Chiefs in the draft. I would not be shocked, but I think it would be on day three based on his history of drafting quarterbacks. Remember, 3 days in the draft now, Thursday night, round one, Friday, rounds two and three, and then four through seven on Saturday. I think it would be that Saturday that the Chiefs may pop for a quarterback, a young prospect, either raw with big physical skills or maybe a little more refined and undersized, like a Cliff Kingsbury, whatever you think, whatever they like. But I think probably day three now, as it will be called in NFL draft circles, is probably the point where they would look at quarterbacks. So let's take a look at safeties, the other position we broke down. In order, number of safeties that are taken. 2001, Hakeem Akbar from Washington in the fifth round, pick number 163, drafted there by Scott Pioli. Didn't take another one until 2004. Dexter Reed from North Carolina in the fourth round. Gus Scott in the third round from Florida that year. So third and fourth round being used on safeties in 2004. 2005, back at it again with James Sanders from Fresno State. Fourth round pick at the safety spot. 2006, in the seventh round, Willie Andrews, safety from Baylor. I'm going to say it was one more safety he took. None of those names jump out at you, but I will caution. Safeties are a spot that oftentimes are taken for depth on coverage units. Safeties, great guys, usually the physical build at 210 to 225 pounds. Guys that can generally run and hit are great coverage guys. So when you see safeties taking the later rounds, when you see anybody taking the later rounds, with the exception of quarterback, you got always in the back of your mind think in terms of special teams. Somebody's got to cover kicks. Somebody's got to block for kicks. And oftentimes it's at those positions that they're looking at special teams. The special teams contributions of these draft picks, I'm not sure of, but none of them ended up being big-time starters. And the one draft pick that kind of stands out, 2007, first-round pick, number 24 overall, Brandon Merriweather of Miami, Florida. That's the highest safety that Scott Pioli ever took in New England. So, again, first, seventh, fourth, third, fourth, and fifth, mostly later picks. Only one time did he pop early, and that was for first-rounder Brandon Merriweather. If you look at this draft, a lot of people have the Chiefs taking Eric Berry, the top safety from Tennessee. You heard Wes Bunting confirm he thinks Eric Berry's that guy. He likens him to Ed Reed, talks about his ability to turn and run and play the center field. Eric Berry's the top guy. Could he be the pick at number five? It'd be the highest they've Scott Pioli's ever taken a safety, but he's only picked as high as he has, as high as he will this year, really two other times, when they took Richard Seymour at seven in New England and when he took Tyson Jackson last year at three. So, again, I will caution, don't count out the defensive line, but they've invested a lot in that defensive line. If they look elsewhere, linebacker I think is a possibility. Maybe wide out, but historically he's gone, and we'll detail that a little bit later on. Wide out in later rounds, but safety, linebacker, I think a possibility for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then the question becomes, we did the breakdown on safeties, is Eric Berry Ed Reed? Everybody's tried to reincarnate Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu, usually with failure. So if you take a safety this high, because good quality safeties can be found in later picks, including Ed Reed, who was in the 20s, Bob Sanders, who was in the second round in the 40s overall, you can find safeties later. If you take a guy up at number five, boy, I'll tell you this right now, Eric Berry better be an Ed Reed-type safety, because many of them, many teams have tried to recreate a guy like Ed Reed and have failed in picking out that safety spot. We'll take a break when we come back. Terrence Copper, Chiefs wide receiver, joins us next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
With the fifth pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select...
We can't tell you yet. You're going to have to find out at the Chiefs NFL Draft Party. The NFL Draft is right around the corner and new for 2010. The draft's first round will be held in prime time Thursday night, April 22nd. The Draft Party takes place at the Chiefs Indoor Practice Facility with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, hosting the party, giving you an inside look at each player selected along with live draft updates from New York. There'll be a special appearance by Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt. Come get autographs and pictures of current and former Chiefs players. Get your first peek at the 2010 Chiefs cheerleaders and shake your belly with KC Wolf. We'll have food and drinks available, so join us for happy hour Thursday, April 22nd. Get tickets now for the Chiefs Draft Day Party, sponsored by Miller Lite and KC Southern. Chiefs Draft Day tickets start at just $15 for adults and $10 for kids. Get yours now at kcchiefs.com or by calling 800-745-3000. The 2010 Chiefs NFL Draft Party.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left of the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday as we talk with Chiefs wide receiver Terrence Copper right now. Terrence, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad, not too bad. Let's start with... why you're back in Kansas City? You had an opportunity to sign elsewhere. You chose to sign back with the Chiefs. Why is this the best spot for you to keep playing football?
You know what, I love the organization. I love the coaching staff. Everybody's working together for the same purpose. The players, I love being around them. You know, they feel like family to me. You know, and I feel at home when I'm here. So that's one of the biggest reasons why I signed back.
And you had had to do some searching on this, and I realized that you crossed paths with Todd Haley down in Dallas. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
How much was Todd Haley being the head coach brought you here originally and is still part of why you feel as comfortable as you just said you do?
I like to say he's a big reason why I signed here, you know, the first time. You know, I was very familiar with him. I was familiar with his coaching style and as some of the other coaches on the team as well, you know, so I like the way he coach, you know, he's all in, all the time, you know, that's one of the biggest reasons why I signed him from the start.
And that would probably surprise some people, because I think most people would say, wow, he's, you know, he's so intense, he's so over the top that I'll bet it's tough for him to find players. I'll bet players want to play someplace else. In fact, though, it's the exact opposite with you. Do you know any guys, though, that style of coaching just turns them off? Or no, do guys in the NFL just understand you got to be tough?
You got to be tough, you know. And with me, it was kind of easier for me to adapt to his coaching style because when I came in as a rookie, he was my position coach. You know, and he was a lot more fiery than he is now. You know, so like I said, I was just kind of used to it. You know, being under him my first 2 years in the NFL. You know, so I like the way he coached. You know, he motivates you, and I love playing for guys like that.
So this is actually the calm, cool, you know, aged and matured Todd Haley, not the fiery Todd Haley, huh?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people a lot of people would think differently, you know, but if you've seen Todd in his younger days, not saying he's old, but you've seen him a few years ago as a position coach, you would think that, man, yeah, he is calm and collect now.
Is there a side of him that you know, maybe the media and the fans don't get to see, where he's actually jokes around, or you know, that he's actually just kind of a normal guy?
Oh, he's definitely a normal guy. He's a good guy to be around. You know, very respectful, very family oriented. You know, he's a great guy to play for. You know, and he's just a great person.
Do you feel, one of the things he talked about at the end of the season, in his end of the season press conference, he said, you know, we've built the foundation of what it is we want to do, you know, and we hear coaches talk about that, but not being in the locker room, we don't ever get a chance to feel it. Did you see it, you know, what he's talking about flushing out the old mindset and getting everybody on board with what his mindset is and how he wants guys to play, prepare, and just go about being a Kansas City Chief?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, first of all, he got us in here. We work hard every day. You know, he's not going to take any pity on us. You know, and I like that. Even though it's hard work, but you want to be a part of an organization that's like that. And he's installing in us a winning attitude. You know, there's nothing, you can't accept nothing but winning. You know, that's the whole objective of practicing, of preparing, is to win the game. You know, no matter what it takes, we're just trying to win. And that's the mindset he's putting in our players. You know, whatever it takes, no matter if you're hurt, sick, you know, whatever it takes, we need to win. You know, and that's the type of mindset that you need to be a winning program.
We're talking to Terrence Copper, Chiefs wide receiver, here in the Red Zone, getting ready for, you know, taking part in the off-season program. Good to get into that, or do you kind of go into it going, oh man, here we go again?
You know, it's good to get into it because, I'm actually excited about it this year. I mean, last year we made some strides late in the season, showing that we are an up-and-coming team, you know, and we're a young team. You know, last year was a young team, so I'm actually looking forward to this season, you know, working out again, getting back into the groove of things. We got a new strength conditioning coach, and, you know, he's very motivating, you know, and I just like the way this program, I like the direction it's going in right now.
How important is it to get this time in now with a new offense? I know last year, you know, there were a lot of new guys, so the offense was new for a lot of different guys. Then it changed as Coach Haley made the decision to make a change at the offensive coordinator, and you basically, by everyone's account, went to a new offense about a week and a half before the season started. Now you've got a chance with Coach Weiss coming in to put in what should be a similar offense. They've talked about it, how they come from the same coaching tree, so the philosophies and terminology should all be pretty similar. But how important is it this off-season time to get on the same page offensively so that when you get to training camp, you're perfecting things for the season?
Oh, yeah, it's very important. The off-season program is not just lifting weights and running. You know, it's also installing the plays, getting the timing down with the quarterback, just the quarterback and the receivers and the running backs, the tight ends just going out on their own, you know, running the route tree, just getting the timing down with the quarterback. And, of course, learning the plays and everybody being on the same page is something that you really need in order to be a successful team. You know, and starting now instead of waiting until the season starts to really start learning your offense is a big help.
Did you see, and there were personnel changes also along the offensive side as depth was added to the wide receiver core when Chris Chambers came over. Jamal Charles took over as the starter running back. The offensive line kind of settled down, you know, with guys finding their roles and knowing where they're going to play. The offense really did make some serious strides. Can you build on that, or is that something you've got to start from scratch again now that it's a new season?
You know, it's kind of both. Both. You need to build on it. You need to take the confidence into the season, knowing what you can do and knowing that you can do it, you know, but also you also got to know it's a new year, you know. It might be some new players, and you might be the same, some of the same players, but you got to go out there and prove it all over again that you can make them strive again, you know. So you got to throw some of it out, but you also got to keep some of it with you, knowing that you can do it and knowing what you got to do to get it done, you know. But it's a new year, and some things you do got to throw out because it's a new year, but a lot of it, you got to keep it with you knowing the success you can have.
What is Charlie Weiss like? Is he what you thought he would be? Did you have any idea what kind of coach he was? Did you call around and ask guys you might have known who played for him what to expect?
You know, I haven't. I'm just going to wait and see how I don't like to call around and ask about people. I like to see on my own, you know. I don't really get too many opinions on the type of person or the type of coach somebody is. I like to make my own opinion. But as far as I know, he's a great guy. I mean, he knows his stuff, you know, so I'm looking forward to it.
What about Matt Castle, the quarterback? Do you feel like you're starting to get in sync? All the guys are starting to get into sync. Not only did you change offense, he also missed several weeks, which had to set back the timing between him and his receivers. We look for even better things out of your quarterback this year?
Oh, yeah, Matt is definitely going to be a very top-ranked quarterback this year. I mean, he's putting the work, putting the time in. The receivers, we're all going to put the time in with him, the tight ends. You know, so, I mean, it's not just all about Matt. You know, we all got to help Matt become the player we know he can be, to be the best player he can be. And also, it goes both ways. You know, we just got to work together. Football is the ultimate team sport. You know, can't nobody do it on their own. You know, so we all just got to work together to become good.
Terrence Copper is with us here in the Red Zone. The team got a lot better in special teams. You're a big part of it, second on the team in special teams tackles. What is the key to being a great coverage team? Because this team took a big step forward.
The key to being a great coverage team, I think, is preparation. You know, you got to study. You got to study the guy that you got to block. You got to study the guy that's trying to block you. You know, and it's all about willpower and want to. You don't want to play special teams, then more than likely you're not going to be that good. But if you can get some guys out there that want to be on special teams, that want to go down and make tackles and want to block, you know, then you got a chance of being good. So to me, special teams is about preparation and the want to and the will to do it.
What about some of the collisions that go on out there? They make me hurt just watching it.
I tell you, it's definitely a full contact sport, you know, special teams. I mean, more than likely every collision almost full speed, or at least 75%. It's gonna be full collisions every time.
It's unbelievable when I see you guys out there. The way you run into people, it is unbelievable where things are at. The speed of the game, that's one place where you definitely see it. How much better can this team get on special teams?
Hey, we can get a lot better. You know, I think we got better last year from the year before, but you know, we still made a lot of mistakes in certain areas. You know, we still can always get better. You know, technique-wise, we can get better. You know, and just preparation, you can get better. You know, so we always can get better. You know, we wasn't a perfect special teams last year, and we know that. But we made some good strides with being a good special team last year. But like you say, some of that got to go out the door because it's a new year. You got to go out and prove yourself all over again.
All right, now the NFL draft is coming up. Are you a guy that likes to watch the draft, or is it something you find boring?
You know what? It's nothing I really watch. I really don't watch the draft that much. I may watch the first round, but after that, I really don't watch too much of it. You know, I know it's going to be very exciting for the guys coming out of college, but I really don't get caught up too much in the draft.
Now, you were a guy that had to fight your way into the league. You were not drafted. Is that part of it? I don't want to watch this thing because nobody thought I could play, even though you've had years in the league.
Not at all. You know, like I say, it's very exciting for college players coming out. But you know, when you played a little while, you know, the draft. I mean, it's the draft. You see who. Get on your team once the draft is over with. You know, you read everybody, you know, but I really don't watch the draft too much. I mean, There's no reason behind or anything.
No, it just makes you a normal guy. People, I think, would probably would expect, oh, you know, he plays. He's got to be watching every pick. I think most people are kind of like you. First round, kind of interesting to see some of the names, where they go. And then after that, I think interest kind of wanes. We're talking to Terrence Copper, Chiefs wide receiver here in the red zone. I got to give you my final four quick questions before I let you go, and I'll start with this. Are you watching Ocho Cinco on Dancing with the Stars?
I didn't even know he was up there until my wife told me. So I haven't really had a chance to watch Dance with the Stars, but she watches it from time to time. But I haven't got a chance to watch it yet.
Now that you know he's there, are you going to try to check it out?
So, you know, I might. I really might try to. Next time she watches it, I think I'm going to sit down with her and watch it.
All right. Fair enough. Did you root against the Saints in the Super Bowl since they were a team that released you?
Not at all. I'm going to tell you, I got a lot of friends on that team. I'm still good friends with some of the coaching staff, and I got a lot of friends on that team. You know, so I was rooting for them all the way. You know, I still have a good relationship with the players and the coaching staff down there.
All right, that's good. I'm glad that's the way you view it. Some people might have been sour, but that's good. It was a great story, that's for sure. All right, let me try your knowledge of East Carolina. Who is the who has the most receptions in the history of East Carolina for NFL NFL players?
The history. Man. That's a tough one. I don't know.
would you believe Ernest Byner?
Ernest Byner. I could go for it. Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, it's kind of a trick question to throw a running back at you, but you know, he's the guy. So you know, just you know, keep that in your mind. What number you're shooting for? You can look up his numbers and see what you got to shoot for to take him out. And finally, are you glad that training camp has moved to St. Joe versus River Falls?
You know, no, and it's only just one reason. You know, I'm not excited about it. Not a bunch of reasons why, but it's only one reason. It's because of the weather.
Yeah.
It gets real hot. It gets real hot up this way. You know, it's a lot cooler in Wisconsin. You know, but I'm still excited about it. But you know, I'd rather take the cool weather over 100 degree weather.
Hey, as a guy who's got to spend a week every year at training camp, I'm with you. I'll take the cool weather. I'll be closer to home. That'll be nice. But the cool weather, I'm with you. I vote cooler weather, but we'll see how it goes. St. Joe, I know, very excited to have the Chiefs there, and so it should be good from a fan's perspective, and that's what really matters. So I guess we'll all buy in eventually, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's how it's got to work. Hey, Terrence, really enjoyed talking to you. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, thanks for having me on.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
You're listening to the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro back with you, wrapping things up here on the Red Zone. I want to get to some of your emails. Again, you can always email us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. I will let you know. I've heard a couple of folks, seen a couple of emails from folks talking about the podcasts and that they're having trouble downloading them. And I have forwarded those emails. We'll see. Try to get that corrected for you. I know the website changed and got some feedback from some folks, so we'll try to make it as easy as possible for you to download the podcast of the Red Zone. So we are working on that. And then also want to thank, of course, Terrence Copper for joining us in our last segment. Fine young man and excellent coverage receiver, a guy who knows Todd Haley very well. Worked with him at a couple of stops and had a big, big catch for the Chiefs against the Broncos last year. We'll see how much his role perhaps in the wide receiving core changes this year. Emails, our man Daryl is back, Daryl Zimmer from the Great White North. Got a great email, great Chiefs fan from Canada. Said, we just have to start the season off winning. I'll paraphrase. He goes through, loves what the Chiefs have done, very excited about the season, but thinks the schedule is going to be huge. If the Chiefs can get off on the right foot, things will snowball from there. And Daryl, I will agree with you wholeheartedly. I think the schedule is going to be big for this Chiefs team. I think this Chiefs team is ready to be a 500 football team. But I think any time, wherever you stand as a football team, you can go four games better, you can go four games worse. How do you go four games worse? Well, injuries. Injuries can rob anybody. In fact, probably if you get decimated by injuries, you can be a lot more than four games worse. You lose your quarterback and don't have a quality backup. That could set you back three, four games. That one position alone. But I think generally speaking, a team is what it is with the ability to move up four games either way. Realistically, two games to move up four games, well, you probably have to have some kind of major perk. Maybe you run into teams that are hurt and broken down and give you that opportunity. But I think there's a four-game swing. So, you know, I think a 16-0 team is probably a 12-4 team where a lot of things broke their way. A couple of plays, a couple of bounces of the football went their direction. You look back at the Colts were chasing perfection last year. Remember, they won a football game with like 12 minutes of time of possession against the Miami Dolphins. I mean, you know, great plays. Give all the credit. I'm not saying you take away that these teams didn't earn these wins. You have to go out and earn the win and do the things. But if you look at it and say, well, that's the recipe to succeed, clearly the recipe to succeed in the NFL is not to possess the football for only 12 minutes. But the Colts found a way to win on that day. It spoke to how strong a team they were. They ended up representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. But that's not the recipe. But that's a game that really, I would say, You know, their strength was they were a 12-4 team. They stole that football game to take their way on up to 13. Probably gave a couple back at the end, obviously, by putting players on ice waiting for it. But I think this Chiefs football team, when we come out of the draft, and the draft will be the final say, I'm expecting quality players to be brought into this team and add to the depth of the football team in the draft. I think this football team should be thinking about being 8-8. I expect them to have the talent to go 8-8 next year. You mentioned the schedule, Daryl, and I'm with you. I think that will be key. If they can get off on the right foot, if they can start winning and feel good about themselves and gain that kind of confidence, which I think is important, gain the momentum, which I think is important in the NFL, then things can get going. We know who the opponents are. What's the order going to be? I think there's two places you want to have a nice spot in the schedule. I think you'd love to get off to a great start and feel confident about yourself. So a couple of home games in the right spot. Get a tough team at your place. And maybe get some lesser teams on the road where you get a chance to go fight for a tough win on the road against a lesser team. Come home, play with that extra advantage you get with that Arrowhead noise behind you, and get a win against a quality team. Get out to 2-0, 3-1 in those first four games. Well, that would be a great situation for the Chiefs to be in. Then head into the middle season, middle part of the season, the middle two quarters, as we've heard both Dick Vermeil and now Todd Haley talk about, and get things going there, feeling good about yourself. I love, and I agree with Todd Haley and Dick Vermeil in their approach of breaking it down by quarters, but I think how you play in the first quarter will affect how you play in the second quarter. So if the Chiefs can get off to a great start, get rolling into that middle of the schedule, I think they've got an excellent chance to be at 8-8 and then get a couple of breaks and push their way on up to 10-6 and maybe fight for a playoff spot. Then the end of the schedule, you'd love coming down the stretch. Maybe you're sitting at 7-6 with 3 to go, or maybe you're sitting at 7-5 with 4 to go. You go into that fourth quarter at 7-5. You got off to a good start. Had kind of a tough spot in there. You get off to a 3-1 start. You go 4-4 in the middle because you had some tough games in there, some tough road games, maybe in a couple of tough losses. You come out, you're 7-5. You're still in position. You're not looking like you're going to win the division, but you're still in position for a playoff spot. If you can get two or three, at least two, you want at least half your home games in that last four, and get them positioned right, where, again, the tougher teams are coming to your place. Maybe you get the lesser teams on the road and a chance to finish strong, get a 3-1 finish, be 10-6 because the schedule works in your favor in that stretch. I think that would be ideal. So, Daryl, I'm with you. I don't think the schedule will determine what this team is, but I think the schedule can help you and does help teams in the NFL. A team from 8-8 to 10-6, a team from 10-6 in a wild card to 12-4 in division champs. I think the schedule can tip the balance of power in that way. It'll be interesting to see what the schedule ends up being. Should know very soon exactly what order the Chiefs are going to play their opponents in. Of course, you can check here at kcchiefs.com and check out who the opponents are this year for the Chiefs. I like the schedule. Everything can change. Once you get into the season, once the draft comes along, free agency gets done, teams get stronger, teams get weaker. With that in mind, I still think the schedule could be advantageous to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to do it for us here in the Red Zone. I want to thank everybody who helped us out. Curtis Siebel, Brad Young, Adam Pellegrino helping us out here on the Red Zone. I want to say thank you very much for joining us this week here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.